Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And there it simply says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In our studies in spiritual warfare and the armor of the Christian, we have noted so far two pieces of equipment that will aid the believer in his battle with sin and Satan. They are the girdle or belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. It was obviously vital for a soldier in those days in which Paul wrote to have protection for his upper body, for his midriff and his thighs, as he engaged the enemy at close quarters. However, it would not have made sense in certain situations for soldiers to have their vital parts protected by armor if they had not also shoes or greaves to protect their legs and feet. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 6, when mention is made of the armor of Goliath the giant who faced David, it refers to the greaves of brass upon his legs. This is actually a reference to shoes with which soldiers like him were often shod. As far as the footwear of a Roman soldier was concerned, it consisted of sandals with hobnails or studs in them, and they provided both protection and stability or sure-footedness for the one engaging in battle. The Jewish historian Josephus referred to the footwear of Roman soldiers as, quote, "shoes thickly studded with sharp nails," unquote. There are so many areas of our earthly lives where the right footwear is extremely important. You will know if you are a walker or a runner how vital it is to have the correct footwear. Hill walkers and hikers know just how important the right kind of boots are for those activities. In many sports, and I know this by experience, it's absolutely necessary to have the proper footwear to play the game. Whether it be football, baseball, track and field, tennis, soccer, I call it real football. All these and more require cleats or spikes or properly fitting sneakers that give both stability and mobility to the person engaging in that activity. The shoes for the feet are so vitally important. And this also applies even to the military in the day in which we live. And it was certainly true in those New Testament days of which we are reading here. The feet had to be protected when soldiers entered the fray. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A great English preacher called Charles Simeon wrote, "In reference to this part of a soldier's accoutrements, the apostle exhorts us to have our feet guarded and intimates that as the military shoes gave to him who wore them a readiness to march over any obstacles that might lie in his way, so the gospel of peace gives to the Christian soldier a preparation or readiness to prosecute his warfare without halting." The very word that Paul emphasizes in the context here shows the importance of the feet in warfare. You notice there that he speaks about standing, being able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 11. Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Stand therefore. So, we stand don't we, on our feet. You don't stand on your torso or your midriff, you stand on your feet. And so the safety, security, and good functioning of your feet are vital as you engage in combat, even spiritual combat. Now, as we examine this piece of armour, shoes for the feet, and its spiritual message, I want to say a couple of things. I want us to note in the first place the problem that is implied here. And the problem that is implied here is simply this. As there were potential dangers facing a Roman soldier, for example, as he went forth into battle, which meant that it was necessary for him to be shod with the right shoes, so we, entering spiritual battle, need to be shod with the proper footwear. Think of the soldier, however powerful his chest, however well girded his loins. If he were to be wounded in his feet or slip and fall in the battle, he would become an easy prey for the enemy. So the feet must be properly shod. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Christian, you see, faces dangers and troubles in spiritual warfare. And he must have his feet protected and shod with the gospel. The problem that is implied here really includes this. Without having the feet shod with the gospel, the child of God will be hindered. He will be hindered. Now, as we intimated, the provision made for a Roman soldier's feet, and that's what Paul has in view here in these various pieces of armour, it was a certain type of sandal. They weren't flip-flops. They were called sandals, but they were protective, sturdy footwear. And that sandal consisted of a sole with straps which held firmly onto the feet. And importantly, the sandal had at the bottom hobnails or studs. So underneath that flat part of the sandal, there were these studs or spikes to get a grip. Those sandals provided the soldier with a firmness of hold when he went into combat, preventing him from slipping and sliding and falling in the conflict. They gave to the soldier, you see, a proper hold, a proper grip. They gave him stability in the field of battle because often he had to fight on slippery ground where there was mud and so forth or shale. And I think there's a great lesson in this for us. Isn't there a danger for Christians, a danger for God's people of slipping and sliding and falling? We know that that is a danger. We can be hindered. Back in the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul was using the analogy of running a race. And here's what he said to them, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" Or you might say, who did drive you back, that you should not obey the truth? Ye did run well. That's a really sad statement. Because what it means is, though you did run well, you're no longer doing so. You're not running well now. Who did hinder you? You've been hindered. You're not going forward as you once were. We are to, and we're reminded of this even in the book of Ephesians, walk with the Lord in the light of his word. The Bible speaks of the walk of the Christian in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He says in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." That's an interesting word. that really refers to picking your steps. That you walk circumspectly, being watchful, not as fools, but as wise. When I was a young man, I used to go visit my grandfather who lived in a city home. And even in those days, there was a danger of people breaking into your home. And so sometimes in houses like his, at the back of the little tiny yard, which was concrete, there was a wall, and people would put cement on the top of that wall, and then they would break bottles or glass, and they would strategically place those pieces of sharp glass on the top of that cement, and it would harden in there. And so some smart aleck who decided in the cover of darkness to get up over your wall into your yard, he might think better of it after he had cut himself. That was the idea. Now, probably today you'd be litigated for doing that. You wouldn't be allowed to stop people from coming in. You want to invite the criminals in. That's the idea today of the liberals, but don't start me on that subject. But I remember oftentimes looking out the back window of my grandpa's house, and the local neighbourhood cats, feral ones included, would make their way along that wall. And when they would come to those sharp pieces of glass, you would see them being ever so careful to pick their steps. And they would make their way across that very gingerly, picking their way through those obstacles to get to the other side. They were smart. What were they doing? They were walking circumspectly. They were picking their steps. And that's how we are to walk, and that is how we are to run. And friends, we can lose our spiritual footing. We can slip and we can fall into grievous sin or even into doctrinal error if our feet are not properly shod with the gospel of peace. It is that which gives stability to the Christian's life. Maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning, I don't know, who has already slid back to some degree. You've been slipping somewhat spiritually. You've been hindered from truly fighting the battle with sin and the evil one. And why is that? It's because you've not had those gospel shoes firmly fastened on. Maybe the straps have come loose a bit and you're not wearing them as you ought to be. You see, the sin of backsliding is endemic to us as believers. God says in the Minor Prophet, "My people are bent to backsliding from me." It's something that's within us. And we have to battle and fight. But God is able, as the Bible says, to keep my feet from falling. He has provided these gospel shoes for our feet. There is the danger of being hindered. Without the feet being shod, then, there's the danger of being hurt. The danger of being hurt. The sandals made of stout material were important to a Roman soldier because of the devices that were often employed by enemy combatants. Now, I read some history on this, and apparently a favourite device in warfare in those days was to place certain traps, you might call them gins or gins, in the ground. Pieces of wood or stick were chiseled on the end into a narrow point, and they would be fixed into the ground at an angle, with the sharp point sticking up just very slightly above the surface, almost invisible. And so when an enemy would come running along, if he had no protective sandals on, these sharp spikes would suddenly penetrate the soles of his feet. And you can imagine the pain that that would cause. And the damage that that would do, it would not only cause severe pain, but it would perhaps cause significant bleeding and perhaps even eventually infection in the feet. How debilitating that would be to a soldier. And how that would hurt not only himself, but his ability to be effective in warfare, so it would actually hurt the entire army. What's the application of that? Well, I think it's clear. Many are the traps, many of the snares, many are those damaging points that Satan lays for the unwary feet of God's people. I want you to know it is the devil's purpose to hurt you. He's not there to help us. He wants to hurt us. And many are the traps that he lays. And how often have Christians been sidetracked by Satan's traps? And those things that he likes to use to trip us up. And to counteract that, we need to have buckled on the gospel shoes and be in a state of preparedness and readiness. Let us not be ignorant of his devices. Many are the pitfalls that the devil can use, even legitimate things. You know, so often we want to concentrate on the sinful and wicked things in the world that would hurt us, and rightly so. But there are things that can hurt us that might be otherwise legitimate, but will take too much time or too much place in our lives, and so they become illegitimate things, and they hurt us spiritually. But there's also the danger that without the gospel shoes, we will be halted. We can be hindered, we can be hurt, but we can be halted altogether. There will be little or no advance made by a soldier who has not got on the necessary shoes for the war. The Roman sandals gave their armies a great advantage over the enemy. The commentator William Hendrickson pointed out one important reason for Julius Caesar's success as a general was the fact that his men wore military shoes that made it possible for them to cover long distances in such short periods of time that again and again the enemies were caught off guard, having deceived themselves into thinking that they still had plenty of time to prepare an adequate defence. In the victories won by Alexander the Great, the same factor, the shoes, had played an important role. The armies were able to advance quickly because of the shoes on their feet. But many a Christian is held back because they're not firmly fixed on the great truths of the gospel. And they are not applying that gospel to their daily experience. It's one thing to have gospel knowledge. It's another thing to put that knowledge into practice, into gospel living. And there are many believers, certainly professors of Christ, who are slow and sluggish, heavy-footed, and dragging their feet spiritually. There's very little mobility about their Christianity. They're not pressing on with God. They're not following hard after Christ and pursuing after the enemy. That's the thing about the shoes in view here. Paul has in mind these shoes that were not just for protection or defense, but shoes that would enable him to go after the enemy and to go on the offensive against him. I think so often Christians, especially in the day in which we live, have a kind of a siege mentality where the church is concerned. It's almost as though we are this little rump surrounded under severe attack, in danger of going out of existence, and we just have to take the attitude, what we have, we hold. But that is so foreign to the New Testament. Think of the words of Christ in Matthew 16, verse 18. We often quote these words. Thou art Peter, Petros, a movable stone that could be washed back and forth by the waves. And upon this rock, Petra is the word, a large immovable mass of stone that cannot be moved by the waves. Even Peter's confession that he had just spoken. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is a verse that's not in any sense at all teaching the papacy. What an absolute travesty that is to try to establish that doctrine on such a verse as this. But the Lord says of the rock, that great confession that he is the Messiah, I will build my church. And the words simply refer to this. I will be building my church. This is an ongoing thing. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what that means? It means that the church is advancing and the gates of hell will fall before that advancing church. That's a very different picture to what people often have. Yes, the devil is against us, but we're not just in a defensive mode. We're to go on the offensive. against Satan and his kingdom. And the picture given by Christ here is of an advancing church before which the devil's kingdom cannot stand. And you say, well, brother, that's completely opposite to what I see in my experience today. I'm not saying that. None of us are saying that. What we're seeing is small churches. What we're seeing is tiny rumps of people who are faithful. And the compromisers seem to be increasing in number. Isn't that true? Well, by faith, I believe that not only will Christ build his church, but that church will be triumphant. And that church will advance. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The shoes, then, are necessary so that we will not be halted, but that we will continue to be able to advance in spiritual warfare. But there's not only the problem that is implied here of being halted and hurt and hindered, but there's the preparation that is important here. And I want to spend some time on this, and we will also come back to this again next time in the will of the Lord. If you look again at the text, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is really speaking about being in a state of readiness, being prepared. And that's always a good thing for soldiers. Even when soldiers are in the barracks, when they are in their billets, so to speak, they are to be in a state of readiness for war. It can happen at any time. And so even though you've been stood down, so to speak, you still have to be ready. You have to be prepared. Now, there's a verse that fits with what Paul is saying here over in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. And he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now think of that statement. To be ready, or to be prepared, to be in a state of readiness to every good work. That's exactly the same word. And it's the same idea that Paul has in view here with the shoes. The idea of having the equipment and being in a condition of preparedness is the meaning. There's the preparation that is important. Now, some have applied this preparedness and having the feet shod with the gospel to the matter of evangelism. Now, let me not be misunderstood. The church is to be involved in evangelism. Christians are to evangelize. And it is to be as it was with the disciples, where the Lord said to them, as ye go, preach. You are to be a witness for the Lord everywhere that you go. But because evangelism is our duty, does not mean that that's what Paul has in view in this passage. I think one of the reasons that people think that it has to do with evangelism is because of a couple of cross-references to the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. See, quite often what happens is someone gets a concordance, and they find a word or a phrase, they find all the references to that in the Bible, and they think that every single one of them means the same thing, but it doesn't. That's why I particularly like Young's Analytical Concordance. There's a number of good concordances that you can get. There's Strong's Concordance for those that are strong. There's Cruden's Concordance for those who are a little crude. And there's Young's Concordance for those that are young. I like Young's Concordance. It's an analytical concordance, and it actually separates the words according to the Hebrew and Greek words themselves. So that you might have a word for love, which could be agape, or it could be phileo, and it will separate those words. So you know that every word under that particular heading is of the same kind. Now, why is that important? It's important because sometimes people teach wrong things by associating words together just because they are the same words. And so here's an instance of that. Sometimes you'll get a cross-reference or you'll get a reference in a concordance to Romans chapter 10, verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. And so people will look at this and they'll say, well, your feet have to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so it must mean the same thing. You have to be prepared to evangelize. Well, you do have to be prepared to evangelize, but that's not what this verse is teaching. This verse is not talking about evangelism. Yes, it's true, we should be ready always to bring the gospel to sinners, be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us, be ready to proclaim that gospel of peace. But that's not what is in view in this text. But rather, Paul is speaking about warfare and standing against the wiles of Satan. And I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones said about this, as I like what he says about a lot of things. He said, Paul is not thinking of evangelizing. He is picturing a Christian who is being attacked night and day by the devil and all his powers, and warning him that if he's not filled with the power of God, he will be defeated. We need to be prepared. And what Paul is teaching then is that there are certain things that the gospel of peace, rightly understood and applied to our hearts, should produce in us as we engage in the battle. Let me mention two of them. The gospel of peace is something that we must rest in. So there should be in us, if we're going to be prepared, an acquiescence in the gospel of peace. When you acquiesce in something, you rest in it. And we've spoken already about sure-footedness in a soldier and of having a firm grip with the shoes. And this is what is meant by having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. It literally means, friends, having a firm hold of the truth of the gospel, resting in it for your salvation and thereby enjoying peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1 is a tremendous text. Of all the hundreds and probably thousands of times that I heard my father give his testimony of how he was converted on February 26, 1956, he always starts with, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I had a birthday not so long ago. He got my sister to send me a card. She said, what shall I put on it? Happy birthday and many more of them. That's what my mother used to say. He said, put that on there. And also put on there Romans 5:1. I wasn't surprised. What a text. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have, we're not striving to have it, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we have peace with God? Because He is our peace. He has made peace for us through the blood of His cross. And therefore the gospel is the gospel of peace. And Christian, you need to stand firm on the gospel and have a strong grip upon it by faith. Think of what Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. He said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Stand fast in the faith. That's putting on the shoes of the gospel. Through Christ's work for us, which we rest upon by faith, we have peace with Him. We're reconciled to God by the work of Christ. If you're not a Christian, you've not been reconciled to God. There's enmity between you and God. God is your enemy. And you're His enemy. And you need to have peace with God. And the way to make peace with God is to be reconciled to God through the work of Christ. And by faith in that work. And true peace with God is the product of the gospel, because it alone deals with the matter of our sin and guilt before a holy God. You know, there are people who try to get rid of guilt by religious actions, ceremonies, rites, and all the accoutrements of religion. They think that by doing this, doing that, and doing the other thing, they'll have peace with God. But there is no peace with God in mere religion. There is a false kind of peace. There is a kind of false peace which many do experience even in religion, but it's not peace with God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. There are some who cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's a false peace, even peace of mind, that some enjoy because they believe the devil's lies and they're resting in those. But there is no repentance, no turning from sin, no battle with evil in such people. They're not in the warfare. Theirs is a false, spurious peace. But the gospel of peace, as it's called here, speaks to us of one who made peace for us through the blood of his cross. As Ephesians 2:13 and 14 put it, ye who once were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. And friends, this peace with God will in turn produce in us the peace of God. Philippians 4 verse 7. The peace of God keeping or garrisoning as a group of soldiers your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know that any uncertainty in a soldier will adversely affect his ability to wage war. You can't have uncertainty. You have to go forward with confidence. And if I'm in any doubt about my relationship to God, I shall not be able to fight the enemy, as one put it. I shall have to spend the whole time struggling with myself. And aren't there many like that today? You need to be clear about this fundamental fact that your sins have been forgiven and you're reconciled to God. You can only have that through a right view of the gospel, knowing that peace has been made for you with God by Christ. And that will produce peace within you as well. But you'll be a very poor soldier if you're not resting in the full assurance of faith. This is what it means to put on the shoes. Oh, pray that God will assure your heart with the gospel of peace, and thus you'll not be slipping and sliding all over the place, wondering if you're really part of his army at all. Without this acquiescence in the gospel of peace, you're not going to be ready, you're not going to be prepared to fight. So the question is, are you resting in the truth of the gospel? While others build on good works, or opinions if they may, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. This is what it means to have on the shoes of readiness. And those who enjoy peace with God will never be at peace with sin and Satan. And thus they're ready for war. So an acquiescence in the gospel of peace, resting in it, that is needed. But also an acquaintance with the gospel of peace. And when I say an acquaintance with the gospel of peace, I don't just mean to be able to rhyme off 1 Corinthians 15 and those verses that speak of Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. People will say, well, that's the gospel. In its very narrow sense, yes, it is the gospel. But there's so much that flows from that. The gospel is a body of doctrine as well as a formula of salvation. And we need to learn the gospel. I think there's a great danger among Christians of thinking, and preachers included, that the gospel is only something for getting people saved, instead of realizing that the gospel is to be preached to saint as well as sinner. We have to learn the gospel. We have to focus on the gospel. We have to live out according to the gospel. We must be acquainted then with the gospel. I spoke earlier about the importance of stability and sure-footedness. A soldier has to be able to stand firm and fight. So those studs or spikes in the bottom of the sandals would be necessary to give him that firm foundation, that stance that he would need to take. I keep talking about my dad, probably for obvious reasons. He's very much in my mind these days. Before my father was saved, he was a professional boxer. You might say, ooh, how horrible. But my dad was a boxer. That's what he did. And as a kid, he went to the boxing club. He got in shape. He became a very, very fit man. But He did become a pugilist, to give it its nice name. According to the Marquess of Queensberry rules, he boxed. My dad always took up a very good stance in boxing. He could, if he was well, could do it yet. I've seen him many a time square up like this, as if he was going to throw a right hook or a left uppercut against me, which thankfully he never did. But he always stressed the importance of planting your feet, having your feet in the proper position. Footwork is so important when you're not only going to throw a punch, but try to get out of the way of one. That's important. And it's important in soldiery, if you're going to go into battle with the sword and the shield, to have your feet properly planted, to be able to be standing firm and not to be overcome. What are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual stability, being grounded. Now look with me, with that in mind, very quickly, at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Because we have a picture in that verse of spiritual instability. Spiritual instability. That we henceforth be no more children. The idea is of very young children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And we're all, as parents, familiar with the sight of little babies trying to learn to walk and how unsteady they are on their feet. And they try to take those first steps and whoop, all of a sudden down they go onto their setter because they just can't plant their feet properly. There's instability there. Young children have that about them. They're unsteady on their feet. You know, spiritually there are folks who are sadly, easily blown about by every wind of teaching and doctrine. Instability. All over the place. A writer called Peter Jeffries said of such, they cannot take their stand on the truth of the gospel because they are never sure what it is. They slide about all over the place. They hold strange views. They do strange things and are completely inconsistent, like the typical infant. What they want is something to play with, something to entertain them, something sweet to the taste and pleasant to the eye. And the result after many years is spiritual infancy and instability. Now what a commentary that is on many people today. And that's exactly why they're not interested in churches like this, but would rather go to some place where their ears are tickled or where they have the rock band at the front, because they're not stable. Just like Jeffrey said, they want something to play with, something to entertain them, something sweet to the taste and pleasant to the eye. Other people call me and ask, what kind of programs do you have in your church? What do you have for this group? What do you have for that group? And with a smile on my face, I usually say, well, you know what we do? We sing, and we pray, and we read the Bible, and we preach, and we go home and seek to live out the gospel. Oh. Oh. Guess what? They never visit. They don't come. Because they're looking for something to play with, something to entertain them, something sweet to the taste and pleasant to the eye. Spiritual instability. Christians have to understand that the gospel is not just a message to get people saved by, but to live by also. We receive strength from the gospel. Therefore, we must know what we believe and stand firmly upon it. And that's God's will. It's God's will that you be grounded and settled, that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And where is the knowledge of Christ? It's in His Word. It's in His Word. You must read the Word. You must study the Word for yourself. You must pray that the Lord will write His Word upon your heart. And you must sit under the Word and be taught in the Word. These are things that God lays out in the Scripture for our benefit. Meditation. Now there's a thing. Do you ever meditate upon what you have heard? Think about it. talk about it. Whenever you see a bunch of cows in the field and they've just had a great feed of nice green grass, they lie down and all you see is them chewing away. All right? What are they doing? Well, they're chewing the cud. They're regurgitating and going back over that which they've eaten. We need to chew the cud spiritually. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Find out what the Bible says. Read it. Meditate upon it. Lay it up in your heart. Spiritual stability is something that I associate with men like Martin Luther. Martin Luther was far from perfect. We know that. But when he emerged from the darkness of Romanism and he appeared to answer for himself before the might of the Roman Church, he gave a faithful testimony. And in spite of the great danger to his life, he said in those immortal words, "Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. May God help me. Amen." Here I stand. What's that? That's stability. That's having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May we too have on these shoes that will enable us to stand firm. And we'll speak more of this next time in the will of the Lord. But let me say in closing that if you are one who does not have peace with God, may you come to know Christ today. May you put your trust in Him and His work alone. And in coming to Him in repentance and faith, He will fill your heart and mind with the peace of God that will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.